The Old Testament reading for our celebration of the Transfiguration of our Lord comes from the book of Exodus, the 24th chapter. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain, and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God, and he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle reading comes from the second letter of St. Peter, the first chapter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking, when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the season of Epiphany, it's all been leading up to this. Today, Transfiguration Sunday, it's a high holiday in the church here. Today is a day of special celebration as we look back to the Transfiguration of our Lord, when Peter, James, and John went up on the mountaintop and saw Moses and Elijah speaking with a radiantly glowing Jesus. This is a phenomenal event that leaves no doubt that Jesus is fully God. And this is what the entire Epiphany season has been leading up to. All throughout Epiphany, we have seen glimpses of Jesus' true glory and might. That's the theme of the Epiphany season. Epiphany is about Jesus being revealed to the world as fully God and fully man, the promised Messiah, who had the power, authority, and ability to do what he said he was doing. Epiphany begins with the wise men from the east seeing his star and coming to worship the newborn king. The readings all throughout Epiphany are filled with miracles and divine teachings and clear proclamations that Jesus Christ is not just a good teacher, not just a Messiah for the Jews, but he is God's promised Savior of the entire world, that he is God in our flesh, able to do what nobody else can do. And all throughout Epiphany, we see little glimpses, tiny little tastes of Jesus' divinity and almighty power and majesty. And now, here at the end of the Epiphany season, here in the Transfiguration, we think to ourselves, now we've seen it. Now we've really seen Jesus' glory. Now we have seen it in full instead of just a little glimpse. Because this is Transfiguration. This is amazing. This is a wonderful, once-in-a-lifetime event. We see Jesus speaking face-to-face with the renowned prophets of old. Moses, the greatest prophet that ever was, who stood face-to-face with God, who delivered the Ten Commandments, who spoke for the Lord, whose face shone with the very glory of the Lord after he had spoken with him. Elijah, who had raised people from the dead, who boldly spoke the word of God, even at the risk of his own life. These two represent the entirety of the Old Testament, speaking to Jesus Christ. And that is glorious. And then we see Jesus shining like the sun. It's very interesting, all the accounts of the Transfiguration, they all use different words. Nobody can quite put it into the same words. Nobody can quite explain because it is such beyond anything that we've ever experienced. Jesus shone like the sun. He radiated with light. His clothes were whiter than anyone could possibly bleach them. We see the glory of Jesus physically, literally, with our eyes. And then we hear the voice of God the Father from the shining cloud that covered the mountain. The voice of God clearly proclaims Jesus Christ as his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased. As God the Father proclaims, listen to him, because he is the one. He is the fulfillment. He is the culmination of everything that has been leading up to this. This is amazing. This is the Transfiguration. This is beyond phenomenal. And so we see all of this, and we think to ourselves, finally, finally we see the full glory of Jesus. There is what we've been looking for. The glowing, the voice from heaven, the fulfillment of the prophecies. And to think such a thing, it is very, very natural considering what we're seeing. And it is also wrong. Because these things that we see, these are not the full glory of Jesus Christ. These things, they are glorious to be sure. I'm not discounting them and saying, oh, we don't need that. Absolutely we need it. It was recorded for us. It was passed on to us by the Holy Spirit. It is good and glorious to be sure. But the fact is, the glowing, the voice from heaven, the bright cloud, all of these things, the prophets testifying to Jesus, these are actually not the full extent of the glory. And yet, here on the Mount of Transfiguration, we do see the true glory of Jesus Christ. Not in the cloud, not in the dazzling light display, not in anything that the world would look at and say, now that's glory. But we see the glory of Jesus Christ in his mercy. When the disciples see the transfigured Jesus, when they hear the voice of God speaking, they fall on their faces in fear and terror. And they do so because they know that they are undone. These are men who know that they are sinners. These are men who know the Word of God, and they know that when you see and hear God as a sinner, you deserve to die. Because He is holy. He is perfect. He is beyond anything that sin can approach. He does not tolerate sin in His presence. And so to see the face of God is to bring about your own destruction. They knew this, and that is why they fall down in terror. But what does Jesus say to them? Jesus, in mercy, comes and tells them the impossible. Do not fear. And He doesn't just tell them. He doesn't just stand far off and shout, "You'll be okay, just don't look." No, He comes to them, touches them, comforts them personally, walks down the mountain with them. He is in their presence. They know that He is God in the flesh. They know that they do not deserve to be in the presence of that perfection. And yet, that perfection dwells with them and tells them, "Do not fear. Rise. Come with me. Dwell with me. Be with me. Do the things that I have set before you to do." We ourselves, we receive that same glorious mercy each and every day in our lives. Sometimes as Christians, we think that we need that mountaintop experience that, to really prove that God is real. We need to see Him glowing. We need to hear a voice from heaven. We need something that we can point back to and say, "Remember on July 12th when that happened? Boy, that's how I know God is real." But that's not the case. We receive the same glory of God that Peter and James and John did there on that mountain. Because we ourselves are sinners. And yet, God comes to us in mercy as well. In His Word, Jesus comes to each and every one of us, not in judgment and terror as we deserve, not just to condemn us of our sin and say, "You terrible, wretched person, you'll never be good enough." But He comes in mercy, and He tells us to rise and have no fear, because we are forgiven. In baptism, Jesus Christ Himself comes to us, unites us with Himself, and clothes us with His righteousness by the water and His Word. In the Lord's Supper, He comes to us personally, intimately, in His real flesh and blood for us to eat and drink, uniting us with Him, strengthening us in the one true faith, coming to us when we don't deserve to be in His presence. All of this is ours. All the glory of God is ours, even though we are sinners who do not deserve it, who should tremble in terror in the presence of God. But instead, knowing the word of the Lord, trusting in our Heavenly Father, we have no fear, because we know that that power and might, it is no longer our enemy, but it is our Heavenly Father. All because of the full glory of Jesus Christ shown to us at His cross and His empty tomb. Think about that. We think about the transfiguration and we think that there is power and glory, there is splendor and might, and that's what we should really be looking for. But the transfiguration, that's not the full glory of Jesus. It prepared the disciples for the crucifixion. It assured them that Jesus truly was in control, that He is fully God, that all things were happening according to the way they had been foretold. The transfiguration, it prepares us for Lent as we enter into that penitential season, as we recognize that it is our sin, that we are not worthy to stand in the presence of God. But think about the end of the account. As Jesus came down the mountain, He told the disciples sternly, He commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." And if the transfiguration is as good as it gets, if that is the fullest extent of his glory, wouldn't you think that Jesus would want everybody to know about it? But the full glory, the incomprehensible glory of Jesus, is his full obedience to the Father, his sacrificial love for you. Because without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the transfiguration, honestly, it's meaningless to us. If Jesus is glorious and almighty and has that shining power, but he is unapproachable, if he is holy but completely separated from us, then we are still lost in our sin. And knowing that he is God does us no good if he is not the God who can help us. And so the full glory of Jesus is shown in his sacrificial act of love and power on our behalf. As he willingly went to Golgotha to suffer and die for you. As he willingly endured the pain and agony and shame of crucifixion. As he took upon his holy self every single sin ever committed and laid down his life to pay the price that you never could. That's the glory of Jesus Christ. That's the glory that we truly rejoice in and day out. That he is indeed holy and righteous. He is fully God, but he is God who comes to us in love and mercy and dies for us so that we can be with him. That glory doesn't end quickly like the glory of the transfiguration. That glory is with us all throughout our entire lives, comforting us in our fears, reassuring us of God's presence and forgiveness, speaking to us wherever we might be, proclaiming to us that we are forgiven, that we are God's child, that everything is indeed in his hands. That glory, the glory of the cross, the glory of God's sacrificial love for you, that glory is eternal. And it is ours forever because it gives us the gift of everlasting life. The transfiguration, it happened. And by many people, it is forgotten about. It is called a myth. It is said, well, that never actually happened. You just have three guys who want you to believe it. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And by that word, we are given the gift of heaven itself. And there in heaven, we will see God's glory ourselves. We will see it with our own eyes. We will not tremble in terror because only sinners have reason to fear. And there in heaven, we will be cleansed of our sin. We will stand in God's presence and we will rejoice, singing out his praises, celebrating our victory with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because of the mercy of Jesus Christ, his full divine glory that he gave to us at the cross and the empty tomb. Because of that glory, heaven is ours. We know it for certain, and we too will see the full glory of God with our own eyes. As today draws to a close, as we enter into that season of Lent this week, our inclination is to think that the glory days of Epiphany, well, they're over. And that now we set aside these glimpses of glory and we focus instead on suffering and pain. But as we draw near to the cross, we are not leaving behind the glory of Jesus, but rather we're drawing nearer to it. The transfiguration, it was important. It was astounding. It reaffirms what the scriptures proclaim so clearly, that Jesus is indeed fully God, almighty, holy, and perfect, and he is righteous and full of splendor and glory. But that brief little glimpse, that short shining moment on the mountain, that is not the full glory of Jesus Christ. No, his full glory is with you each and every day. His full glory is in his mercy, his love for you, his perfect sacrifice to take away all of your guilt. There at the cross, in what the world saw as humiliation and defeat, there we see the full victory and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he laid down his life for sinners like you. And in his glory, we see our future glory. Because we have been united with him in a death like his and a resurrection like his. His glory is not just some fancy light show, not just something that's here today and gone tomorrow. His glory is his mercy, his love, his eternal gifts for all those who look to him in faith. And by grace, his glory is your eternal victory. Because by the cross of Jesus Christ alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. All glory be to God, now and forever. Amen.